You know, it is a rare day when we don't have a fresh story about China and whether it's their economic woes. And boy, have we seen a lot of that. I mean, a fairly bleak outlook on their economy, and the economists have tapered all their expectations for the GDP. 60 Minutes over this past weekend had a story about Chinese Navy ramming not only Taiwanese ships, but now the Filipinos. And meanwhile, we have to do business with these people. I guess you don't have a choice. The interesting book that's coming out, it'll be out very shortly, called Dancing with the Dragon, Cautionary Tales of the New China from an Old China Hand. The Old China Hand is Patrick Genovine, the CEO of Pontbello, who joins us right now. It's good to have you with us.
Thank you, David.
So tell me about the old hand. How long have you been working with China? Do you still have all your hands?
That's a better question than you may know. Speaking of the Chinese ships ramming Filipino ships, a Chinese sailor used an axe just a few weeks ago trying to cut lines, but cut off a Filipino's finger, or I think a thumb. Anyway, my first trip to China was in 95, and from the first trip, the first pilot project to our exit from China, we were dealing with the Communist Party of China that controls everything that happens in China. Americans have a quaint expectation that ownership confers control, but the Communist Party thinks differently. They think control confers control.
Do they have the strong hand that they used to? I mean, like I say, all we hear about are the suffering of the economy and the real estate problems, and you know, a lot of people who were making a lot of money manufacturing and were supposed to occupy all those expensive apartments that got built never showed up. They can't be very happy.
They have an awful lot of control that ought to scare us, but it's the ability to cause damage. It's not the ability to build wealth, to create jobs, to drive a constructive economic activity. Xi Jinping is to blame for this more than anyone. He is reverting to Mao-type philosophies. Mao figured control was control and said that control comes from the barrel of a gun. Deng Xiaoping, one of the most brilliant international leaders the world has ever seen, backed away from that. The gun, or the barrel of the gun, gave Mao legitimacy. Deng changed that. Deng said and put into effect policies that allowed economic growth to confer legitimacy on the Communist Party. Xi Jinping is walking that back, and he's oppressing the Chinese people first and most and every day. And trying to export that oppression internationally.
But we've got this dilemma here. I mean, it's an enormous market for our goods. And so everybody wants to do business with them. By the same token, they have this incredible ability to produce goods at a lower price. And they have a lot of natural resources we need. So it's like you can't live with them, but you can't live without them. Is your book telling people how to live with them?
It tells how to negotiate with them. And sometimes negotiation involves brawling. You know, we do not want to go to war. We went to war with the Communist Party's biggest defense contractor, based in Dallas. But that wound up extending to California and Delaware and the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals.
Wait, is this Huawei you're talking about?
No, this is AVIC, the Aviation Industry Corporation of China. So AVIC, for short, Aviation Industry Corporation of China, is the sole supplier of military aircraft equipment to the PLA, just for example. Its revenues are 50% bigger than Boeing's. You know, rough order of magnitude, I'd have to look it up see what the latest were. And there's a problem with that, too. Like with all numbers that come out of the People's Republic of China, you really don't know what the real numbers are. You've got to do the best you can to come up with the best approximation of those numbers that you can. But our brawling with the Aviation Industry Corporation of China was peaceful, to the extent that litigation is peaceful.
But just to back up, in the big picture, I mean, is not doing business with China an option?
It is over the long run, but right now we depend on saline bags being sourced from China. You know, the bags that you get in the hospital when you have to have surgery. So here's a conundrum. We depend on China for saline bags and the hoses and the needles that, you know, they get the liquid in the bag into your body. Yet the Communist Party has created the capability to infect our water supply, which could wipe out our entire saline bag supply within about 10 days. You know, it's scary, scary stuff.
Well, let me reverse the question. Can China afford not to do business with us?
Really interesting question, David. The short answer is yes, but that is because the Communist Party cares more about control than anything else. Americans have a hard time understanding that. You know, here in our system, we intend, and we're imperfect in execution, I admit that, but we intend our laws, our system of governance to protect people from political bullies. The Communist Party, let me back up just a little bit. The Communist Party created itself in July 1927. It created, you know, by amalgamating different armies, the PLA, or the People's Liberation Army, later that same year, I think December. 20 years later, it created the People's Republic of China and the Constitution. So that order matters. The Communist Party came first in creation, and it comes first in preservation today. So the Communist Party created a constitution that protects the Communist Party from people. So think of it as a total or a complete and true inversion of a foundational principle. We aim to protect people from political bullies. The Communist Party aims to protect a political bully from people. So when you get that context, then you understand, or it helps understand, that the Communist Party doesn't really care about the economic condition of people in the People's Republic of China, except to the extent that it preserves the Communist Party.
But you talk about, you know, the art of negotiation and how to do it and what you do with the Chinese. It doesn't sound like they have to adhere to anything they've agreed to during a negotiating period.
Well, they don't. So you have to make sure that you've got leverage and are willing to use it. And if you don't use it, they understand that you're never going to lose whatever leverage you have. And we have a ton of leverage, we being the United States and other Western countries. And by Western countries, I mean freedom-loving countries around the world.
Yeah.
China needs cash. You know, you mentioned the real estate debacle. You know, that amounts to about 30% of their gross domestic product. That's huge. To stay in power, Xi Jinping needs to address that. One way that he addresses that is by convincing Americans to invest, kind of on average over the past decade or so, $300 billion a year. So every 3 years, that's over $1 trillion. You know, just for context, our national budget projected for 2025 is about $7.5 trillion.
Now, what do you mean invest? We're buying their goods, or is this the Elon Musks of the world building manufacturing facilities there?
It's securities that Americans buy, so equities and debt. So Americans will buy bonds from China, and bonds, I think, exceed the equity purchases of Americans, but indexes like MSCI automatically invest more or less in a country depending on how that stock market does relative to other stock markets. So Americans, wittingly or not, send $300 billion on average, roughly, every year to PRC, or People's Republic of China-based companies.
Just by buying emerging market funds?
Yes, yes.
What an interesting dilemma. I look forward to reading your book comes out October 1st, right?
Yes, and there, the 75th anniversary of the founding of the People's Republic of China is October 1st, 2024.
How appropriate. Patrick Genovide is CEO of Pontbello and author of Dancing with the Dragon, Cautionary Tales of the New China from an Old China Hand. We appreciate the time today. We'll be back for more. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, David.
Thanks. Get back. For more of our conversation, go to krld.com/CEO. I'm David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD.